So, who can name the seven dwarfs? Oh, I planned that anyway, not just because of the technical difficulties. Dopey. Sleepy, sneezy. Duck, grumpy. Bashful. Happy. Gotta be Laz. Santa's reindeer. Good. Got them all those reindeer. And don't forget Rudolph. I don't know. There's lots of things we can name numbers of, right? The planets in the solar system, whether it's 8 or 9, they're still fighting about that. The 12 disciples, the 7 gifts of the Spirit. The ingredients in a Big Mac, for those of you over 40. 2 all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Wow. The 10 commandments. The 10 commandments. I don't know. It's hard to list them, name them, even out of order. Harder, perhaps, to follow them. When I was in confirmation class, when God was a child, we had to memorize them. They were part of the catechism. And we memorized them and knew them and were tested on them. Well, the Ten Commandments have their very own story about how they got here, and how they got into our liturgy is a totally different story. But you'll notice that we started out the liturgy today, the first Sunday in Lent, with the penitential order and the reading of the Ten Commandments. You don't have to read the Ten Commandments as part of the penitential order, but we will be doing that during Lent. So now and for the next 4 weeks coming, we will begin the service reading the Ten Commandments. But part of the reason we don't remember them or aren't able to name them or list them is because they don't appear regularly in liturgy, like something like, of course, the Lord's Prayer, the Gloria, which is almost every Sunday. And so it's a little harder to connect and to keep them in the front of our minds. But sometimes the story about them helps us know a little bit about what they mean today. Well, you know the story. They were given to Moses, Mount Sinai. He was asked to get the people ready. So they sanctified themselves, whatever that meant for them, washed their clothes, made their hearts ready to receive the word of God. And then Moses with Aaron received the word, the Ten Commandments, on the mountain and brought them to the people. Now they show up a couple places in the Bible, actually 3 places. The story that you know is the one from Exodus. They appear again in Deuteronomy one more time. I guess those people had a hard time remembering them too. And then the third time is just kind of like a copy machine because of when they got smashed. They read them again into the scripture in Exodus 34. But the story of it is important, and so is some of the research that's been done about the Ten Commandments. And I want to tell you a little bit about a theory that came to the fore probably in the middle of the 20th century. So it's been around a little while now. It gets kicked around and brought up every so often. And I brought some notes with me about it. It's a theory that says the Ten Commandments are patterned after a certain kind of treaty that was very common in the ancient Far East. And so here we are with this pattern that someone looked at the Ten Commandments and kind of said, oh, they look very similar. Well, here's how it goes. The name of the treaty is the Suzerain Vassal Treaty. Suzerain meaning a ruler, a leader, kind of like a king. And the vassals are the servants or the slaves or the subjects or the common people. And so he analyzed this treaty that was very popular, and I said Far East by mistake, Near East, ancient Near East. First, he says, came a preamble. That's where it says, these are the words of King Ahab, for example. that tells you who is saying what's coming next. And then a historical prologue. It tells about all the things that he did, the previous relationship. So it'll say, I am King Ahab, and in the past I have protected you from all our enemies, and I have provided food for you, even when there was no rain. Next come stipulations and obligations, usually listing things like, we are friends and allies of King Judah, and we are enemies of King Saul, and therefore... Then there was a public reading of the treaty where everyone would hear all of the words that were contained in it. They attached a list of witnesses, all the people who heard it and agreed to it. And finally, they outlined blessings and curses. So if you follow this treaty, you will be blessed and you will be fed. And if you don't, and then would follow a punishment or a consequence. So you can probably already see the parallel with the Ten Commandments, the preamble, I am the Lord your God. The historical prologue, I brought you out of slavery, out of Egypt. The stipulations, you shall have no other gods but me. You shall not murder. You shall not covet. The public reading of the oaths of loyalty. Moses tells the people the words of the Lord, and the people say, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. A list of witnesses. Moses and Aaron witnessed the people, and Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. And finally, the blessings and curses. Those were incorporated in those stipulations. Honor your father and your mother. Why? Because you will, your life will be long in the land. And so you can see already the person who thought this up had something going. This was really pretty close to true. Now, there's a little difference between the suzerain vassal theory and the kind of thing that the Ten Commandments was that might be missed. It's actually a very important difference. There's two parts to it. First of all, the treaty. Why do you go into a treaty? Well, because you're a vassal with no power and you need something. You need protection. You need food. You need shelter. Why do you enter into a covenant with God, and that's the word that was used in the Old Testament. It was berith, is the Hebrew, berith, covenant, which is a totally different meaning of why you enter. Why you enter is in response to God's love and what God has done. The action is already over, and you are responding. It's not two parties joining together in action. But the other part of it is probably even more important, because in a treaty, if one party breaks the treaty and doesn't live up to it, the other party doesn't have to either. It's canceled. It's void. In a covenant relationship like the Hebrew people had with God, it didn't matter if they didn't keep it. It did not void the covenant. It was God's covenant. And it is impossible for God to break that covenant due to his love. And so that's the really important piece of the difference between a covenant and that treaty. But you know, regardless of that, Israel was called out. Okay, Israel was called out of Egypt, was given this covenant, and there they were, despite the fact that they kept breaking it. They complained about the food. They complained about the water. They complained about the manna. They complained about the meat. They complained about the walking. They complained about the desert. And God kept steady being with them, showing them love. There was nothing they could do to earn God's love. and there was nothing they could do to end it. So you see, that's where we're like them. Our problem isn't that we don't know any better, it's that we don't do better. In the face of this covenant of love, we are the ones who have been called out. We have been called out of sin, and we're called in Lent to kind of meditate on this. We've been called out by God's love. So no matter how many times we sin, we know we will be forgiven. So when God says to us, "You will have no other gods but me, your job is not your God, and your house is not your God, your family's not your God, your entertainment's not your God, your busy life is not your God, I am your God. And here are the commandments that will help you remember that and practice it." And so we are in the same condition as the Hebrew people. There is nothing we can do to earn God's love, and there is nothing we can do to stop it. So in the season of Lent, we use the penitential order and the Ten Commandments to remind us of that, to remind us of who we are and who God is, and to make it easier for you to do that during Lent when you're not in this building. This will be available for you after the service. It's just the penitential order that we just finished so that you can use it at home or at work. Put it by the phone. Put it wherever you'll see it. Some people next to the sink where they brush their teeth. Some people in the kitchen where they make coffee. You could even have it in the car, but park or stop before you read it. On the back is the Ten Commandments. Doesn't mean you have to memorize them and you'll be tested on them next week. But it's a good idea to meditate on them. And so we hope that as we invite you into this penitential season and give you some tools, that you'll be able to know deep within you what a beloved child of God you are. Amen.